welcome to the Entertainment Docket for the week of June 9th. I am your co-host, Michael Staley, and alongside me is the lovely, talented, and hopping Melissa Hansen.
Hopping? I'm not hopping. Hugh Jackman is hopping. I was, like, dumbfounded. So Hugh Jackman hosted the Tonys
right. This
past weekend, and I watched it. I'm sure I was one of, you know, like, me and three gay guys in Dallas watching it. But Hugh Jackman hopped for, like, 5 freaking minutes to open the thing. From, he was outside, like, they had him, like, you know, paparazzi pictures, and they changed, but he hopped all the way into the building. He hopped around the backstage, and he ran into people, you know, like, and then he jumped rope with the guy from Rocky musical hopping.
Right.
It was crazy. I was like, I can't believe they're starting this way. You have to go, like, you know, take a nap or a 5-hour energy or something to finish this thing. And they did a little joke with him and Neil Patrick Harris, because Neil Patrick Harris has hosted it the past couple of years.
Yeah.
But he's a little busy right now.
Just a bit.
So Hugh Jackman did a great job. He kept it going. I mean, they do, just so they give out the, you know, awards for kind of the big things, big shows and big actors and directors and stuff. And then they have all the musicals perform.
Mm-hmm.
And no, it was fun. But my favorite thing of the night, two. One was Hugh Jackman is talking about the Music Man.
Oh my God.
How years ago he like learned it. Now the opening thing is like, what is it? You say like 9 guys.
Yeah, it's
like,
on the train.
And he kidded about how it was the first rap song.
Yeah.
And then LL Cool J and T.I. joined him on stage and they rapped the fucker. It was so Yeah, but I mean, it was like excellent. It wasn't
joke. No,
like,
it wasn't. It was
so
phenomenal.
Cool to see. So you did a great job. And then the other great part, of course, Neil Patrick Harris. The reason he wasn't hosting, he's on Broadway right now in Hedwig and Angry Inch. And he won.
Yep.
For that, but he performed kind of thing and gave his husband like this huge kiss in the middle of it.
Right.
Which was great.
And his female co-star also won.
Yes. And So it was kind of a big, fairly big winner. There wasn't like one run away with the whole thing.
No.
Winner. Sometimes that happens. It's like all the main awards are one thing. So that won a bit. And then Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder won a bit. And All the Way, Bryan Cranston won for that, for playing President Johnson.
Yeah.
And that won. Best play. And then Audra McDonald, of course, won. Actress for Lady Day, playing Billie Holiday. And she just makes me smile and cry.
Yeah.
She's always just so, for someone who's won it, like, how many times?
This was her 7th, I believe, 6th or 7th.
It's not a surprise when she wins.
Yeah.
But she's just so thankful and emotional and appreciative. And, yeah, so it was great. So, as she went, Lena Hall from Hedwig, you mentioned, won. And it's so interesting because it's a play about trans characters.
Right.
Like, she's playing male in it, and Neil Patrick Harris is playing female in it.
Yeah.
And they both won. And Aladdin, James Monroe Iglehart.
Yes.
Is that how you say it? Yeah. He won for playing the genie in Aladdin, which I don't know, people who've seen it know him, maybe it wasn't a surprise. But to me, that, like, a Disney show is up for, you know, Tony.
Yep.
But, so no, it was a great, and the clips are online if you want to just see parts of it. Because there's so many stars now.
Yes.
Like, I'm sure when Neil Patrick Harris performed, like, all these people who just know him from, like, How I Met Your Mother, their heads were exploding.
Yeah.
Watching him up there like that.
Yeah.
But no, it's one of my favorite award shows because it's not boring. Now, if you don't like musical theater, it's boring. But it's so many stars and music and fun, and it keeps going, and
And they take out they do a lot of the stuff off camera in terms of the technical awards.
Yeah.
So they kind of show clips of the speeches when they come back from commercial break, but it keeps the show going.
Right.
Now, in years past, they used to do scenes from the straight shows as well.
Yeah, now they just show a quick clip.
They're not doing that anymore.
Of it.
But Idina Menzel performed from If Then. And she's got such an amazing voice, but her face contorts in the weirdest ways.
She has her, like, almost cross-eyed eyelids.
Yeah, and her bottom jaw goes one way and the top goes the other. And
she is an amazing.
Oh, my God. And she belted.
But she didn't actually win.
She didn't.
She didn't. Jesse Mueller won. Beautiful, the Carole King musical, which was another highlight of the show. Carole King came out and introduced it, and then, like, they sang together. She sang with the cast of the show.
Now, I caught somewhere that that Jesse Mueller's a Chicago girl.
Oh, is she?
No, I just briefly saw some mention of it, so.
Check her out. Yeah, I don't know. She's not, to me, one of the biggest stars I know, like Sutton Foster and Idina Menzel, but now she is going to be.
Yep.
Beaten. And Kelly O'Hara, she beat out, too.
Like, yes.
That was a pretty big win.
Yeah.
So, congrats to her and everyone. So anyhow, there's definitely clips if you want to check out. It's well worth it.
Yeah, and there's so much great stuff to see on Broadway if you're in New York and you have the money. I know it's expensive, but
man, I was looking up some stuff, looking at going for a weekend.
Yeah,
and it's tough to get tickets.
It is. I know.
So
when I was
got an email from my mom last night in the middle of the award show. And she said, like, Alan Cumming was great. I totally changed my mind on him. I didn't like him. I'm like, Alan Cumming is, like, one of the best things on earth.
Yes.
Duh. So, but it's very hard at all this summer to get tickets, except for, man, the cabaret ones.
Yeah.
You have to, they're tickets for every show, pretty much. Good seats. But you have to become, like, a whatever special member, make a $2,500 donation.
Jesus.
To get the seats. So it's not, you're not buying the seats for that, but they're, those seats are only available to, like, kind of member things. And then there's seats for Hedwig, but it's $300 to $400. So there's seats for, like, every performance, but yeah, $400 seats.
So when I was there a couple weeks ago, I went over to the theater to try and get tickets for Hedwig. They do a lottery 2 hours before.
Yeah, they do a day of.
But the timing wasn't right and I couldn't get there in time. And when I was waiting in line to find out, the woman in front of me was trying to get one of the cheaper tickets, which I think is like $79. Mm. But she had to book, the earliest she could get was the end of July.
And that's what they said, and I tried looking. It's like hard to get tickets. Yeah. They say on the site, like end of July into August.
Yeah.
And I couldn't find them.
Okay.
So I think they're pretty much gotten, especially with showing it. You know,
he's only committed to the show through August.
Yeah, like mid-August, even then. Yeah. And so, I don't know if he'll... I'm hoping they extend.
And I tried to get tickets to go see Raisin in the Sun with Denzel, but they only, for the night that I was there, they had 4 tickets left, and each one of them was $300.
Yeah.
I'm like, so I don't.
Gotta plan ahead if you want to do big things, but then again, there's so much going on, and you can see the next big thing that's going to win next year by going and seeing some smaller stuff that you can get into.
Yep. Bryan Cranston's show was available, Rocky was available, Idina Menzel's show was available, and these are all half-price tickets, so you're paying $80-something with the service charge.
Yeah.
But these are good main-floor seats. It's not like standing room in the back for $29.
Right. But I encourage people to go check out, not the stuff that was this year.
Right.
Go check out small stuff and, you know, find the next, you know, surprise for next year.
Well, this Gentleman's Guide to Murder. Was a big deal, and I know people have gone to see it, and it was playing across the street from where we saw Of Mice and Men. So if I go back in August, I'm going to try and catch, even if I just go down for the day and come back, I just want to, you know.
That's the thing about being fairly close. You can go for a day, you can get tickets for whatever you get tickets to.
Right.
So anyhow. It's my fun.
And it was fun.
Entertainment this week was watching the Tonys. I always enjoy it. Yeah. So.
And it reaffirms our commitment to those of us who do theater that, you know, we are committing to something that has value, even though not all of us work as much as we would like to for good money. I went and saw Maleficent.
And what is Maleficent? Because, I know Angela Jolie and that character, but, like, it's so confusing. Like, why did they make this movie, and what kind of movie is it?
Well, that's a good question. The question is why. Disney has been doing these live-action remakes. It's Sleeping Beauty as told from her perspective.
Okay.
And we start out when she's born, and we find out who she is and what she is, and that she is one of the fairies. Like, there's two kingdoms. There is the kingdom in which the humans live, and then there's a fairy or magical kingdom that's outside the border of the human kingdom.
Okay.
And at one point in time, they lived in harmony.
Yes.
But as the men wanted, as the humans wanted power, they wanted to get rid of the magical creatures.
Okay. Because
they feared them. Now here's, you know, it's the whole metaphor thing. We fear things we don't understand.
Mm.
She was, and they don't really explain it, the fact that she was an orphan. Her parents are dead. And as she rose, she was one of these unique fairies that she kind of became the protector. Because she had these massive wings and she could fly everywhere. And she was bigger than some of the other creatures. But mm-hmm. she kind of rose to power, not so much as a queen, but kind of as people looking up to her as someone who could protect them. And she fell in love with, as a teenager, Stefan, who grows up to be Aurora's father.
Okay.
King Stefan. So they had this relationship as teenagers, this loving relationship. But as his power to become, to go from peasant to king,
right,
grew, their the tension in the relationship. And ultimately he, I don't want to spoil anything.
Yeah.
Ultimately he turns on her and double crosses her.
Yeah.
And that's how she loses her wings.
Okay.
And so the bitter rivalry goes, and then he becomes paranoid that she's going to come after him. So anyways, this whole thing is about her perspective. It humanizes Maleficent to the point where she's really not the big bad bitch that we remember from the animated movie.
Well, it's kind of like Wicked.
Yes, right.
You know,
right, so it's kind of very much like that.
My favorite of this type of thing, it's a book called Grendel.
Okay.
And it's the opposite of Beowulf.
Right, 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 right.
It's told from the monsters. It's one of my favorite books. It's told from the, quote, monsters perspective.
Yeah.
So I like those kind of stories, that other side of it.
It was beautiful. I mean, it's a very emotional tale.
For kids. And to me, a typical Disney movie is scary for kids.
There really isn't anything in this that's too terrifying.
Okay.
Elle Fanning plays Aurora, and even when her trip into the darker recesses of the magical kingdom, mm-hmm. Maleficent is always there to protect her.
Okay.
So, and that's the thing. The three fairies who we knew grew up protected.
Right.
Aurora, that wasn't the case. These three were idiots, and Maleficent was always there because she saw a child much like herself who she identified with.
Okay.
And, of course, she was the daughter of the man she once loved.
Right.
So she felt this need to kind of be her protector. So it is a beautiful tale. People are like, well, what's the point of it? I don't know what the point it is. It's you're getting a story from a different perspective and maybe learning something in the process.
Okay.
So it is worth seeing.
All right.
And it is still doing fairly well at the box office, although here we thought Tom Cruise was going to make a ton of money because the movie that I thought was going to be garbage, everybody I know, even people in the industry, said, this is a damn good movie.
That came in number one?
Nope.
Or The Edge.
It came in number three, yeah.
No, that's what I was saying. Yeah, like a Tom Cruise movie.
Right, yep.
I didn't know which one you're talking about.
Oh, sorry. Edge of Tomorrow.
Came in first was The Fault in Our Stars.
Yes.
With $48
million. Yeah.
I didn't see it, but I've read the book.
Oh, have you?
It's such a great book.
Oh.
It's so good. I love young adult fiction, though, okay. To be honest with you.
Like the Twilight stuff?
It's a great... I haven't read that.
Oh, all right.
I like some stuff. Like, I've read Divergent and Hunger Games.
Oh, all right.
I like it, but this kind of more emotional thing.
Gotcha.
I don't get the whole, like, why it's young adult, just because it's about young... I remember being a 16-year-old girl.
Mm-hmm.
Like, of course, I still connect with that. So anyhow, I actually am looking forward to seeing that one. So that was number one. Number two, Maleficent.
Mm-hmm.
So you helped that out, $34 million. And then, Tom Cruise's new action one, Edge of Tomorrow,
$29 million. Yeah.
X-Men, hanging in there, $15 million. Mm-hmm. And then A Million Ways to Die.
And I think that's going to find its legs on streaming and DVD. And
yeah.
Yeah. Two movies of note coming this week.
Mm-hmm.
How to Train Your Dragon 2.
Oh, okay.
For the families, and 22 Jump Street for everybody else.
Which I'm looking forward to.
I didn't see the first one.
21 Jump Street, go watch it.
Okay.
I don't think it's streaming, you have to like rent it.
Okay. 100%. It's at Redbox, so.
Oh, that's right, it's back at Redbox.
Yep.
Yeah, I saw that. I ended up seeing it because there was like, when it came out in theaters, it was, there was like a misprint with times or whatever. They changed the time and we were out of the theater. And anyhow, it was a friend of mine from high school. And we ended up seeing 21 Jump Street just because, and we really enjoyed it.
Good.
It's again, not quite what you think it's going to be.
All right.
It had a lot of heart to it. Mm. So I thoroughly enjoyed the first one.
Nice.
It helped make me more of a Jonah Hill fan. I did not like him before that.
Oh, see, I was a fan of his from Superbad, so.
Yeah. So, yeah, I wasn't a huge Jonah Hill fan. Now I am.
Okay.
Partly because of the Jump Street. So, anyhow.
Yeah.
So, I'm excited for that. So, I got a lot of movie going to do.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to go try and go see Edge of Tomorrow this week, so we'll see.
Okay.
Coming to DVD and Blu-ray this week, Cosmos, A Space-Time Odyssey. Now, you went and saw...
Yeah.
And I can't remember
his name. I saw Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Yes, yes.
I saw him a few weeks ago, which was like the best evening.
Mm-hmm.
He is just so personable. And he's great. And that show is amazing. It just finished. I haven't watched the last episode. It was just on this past weekend.
Yeah.
So hopefully that'll be back.
Our friend Bill Hunt, who runs Digital Bits, had shared on his Facebook page kind of the final monologue, the wrap-up. For Neil, and it was just an absolutely beautiful look at how we should be approaching our place in the universe. So I'm very curious to check this out because I did not watch any of the broadcast.
It's on Hulu.
Is it?
Okay. Mm-hmm. It's on Hulu, and it's just fabulous and interesting and beautiful.
Yeah.
They did such an amazing job, and it's really cool. They did a little bit of because he talks all about history,
yes,
of astronomy and science, and it's all different kind of issues. But they do for like flashback stuff when he's telling a story
mm-hmm.
of like a scientist. They do like the kind of the action comics thing instead of like getting. They do some actor stuff,
yeah.
But they get famous people to do the voices, too, which is kind of cool. Because you're listening, you're like, I know that.
You're
like, that's who it was. But really cool looking, and it's not cheesy.
Yeah.
It's like really well done.
Yeah. Well, and for those of us who grew up with Carl Sagan,
mm-hmm.
I mean, this carries the legacy even farther forward.
Yeah. And Carl Sagan was, you know, deGrasse Tyson's, like, hero.
Yeah.
He actually, when he was, like, a teenager, he ended up going and spending the day with Carl Sagan.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he tells that story. But they have some clips of Carl Sagan in the new one.
Nice.
They definitely, you know, pay respect.
Very cool.
So anyhow, it's a great show. It's on Hulu. Everybody should watch it and learn something.
All right. Or pick it up on DVD and Blu-ray this week.
There you go.
Also coming to DVD and Blu-ray, Jack Ryan, Shadow Recruit, which is Chris Pine's, their attempt to... Chris Pine and Kevin Costner, their attempt to reboot the Jack Ryan franchise, mm-hmm. which Dave Johnson gave it a phenomenal review. He doesn't understand why it didn't do better than it did.
Because I think we assumed it was going to be bad.
And... Yep. So this may be something, that, again, that kind of finds new life on DVD. Liam Neeson in Nonstop, which is an interesting movie mm-hmm. up to a point, and then you're like, oh, really?
Yeah.
Colin Firth and Reese Witherspoon in Devil's Knot, which I don't think went to theaters. I think this is a directed DVD release.
Yeah, at least wasn't a big one. I haven't.
And this happens sometimes these days where studios will say, you know what, we're not going to waste time. We're just going to put this right to video. And then Liev Schreiber and Ray Donovan season one.
Okay.
Coming to Redbox this week, Veronica Mars, finally. The CGI epic Pompeii. Which Dave Johnson says, please stay away from because it's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Two Kevin Hart movies, Ride Along, with Ice Cube and the remake of About Last Night. And then George Clooney and Matt Damon in Monuments Men, all on Redbox this week. And like we said, 21 Jump Street is back, so if you haven't seen it,
mm-hmm.
head over there. Over at Netflix, new month, brand new stuff, Bill Murray and What About Bob, which everybody loves this movie. I've never seen it.
Oh, it's kind of... funny.
Okay.
It's Bill Murray. And I say Dave being Bill Murray.
And Richard Dreyfuss, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Eddie Murphy in The Haunted Mansion. Now, I'm a huge Disney Parks fan. And I love The Haunted Mansion.
Mm.
This movie kind of pays minor tribute to it, and then it goes off the rails and does really ridiculous stuff.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible 3, which was J.J. Abrams... was this his first feature film coming off of Alias? It may have been.
I don't know. It was surprisingly good.
Damn good movie, yeah.
Very good.
Philip Seymour Hoffman plays the bad guy in this. So
mm-hmm.
definitely want to see that. And then the first two Muppet movies, Muppet Movie and Great Muppet Caper, are available on Netflix this week.
Cool.
Over at Hulu, again, we are scraping the bottom of the home entertainment barrel. Vintage Strawberry Shortcake cartoons from the 80s.
Excellent.
NBA bloopers. A slew of Lifetime original movies. And then all sorts of Z-grade horror stuff that you've never heard of and probably never want to experience. So that's all there on Hulu this week, and that's all I have for physical and streaming media.
Okay. TV this week, Monday night, ABC News is doing a special on Hillary Clinton.
Oh.
And then TNT has a new show called Murder in the First.
Uh-huh.
During Taye Diggs and Tom Felton.
Oh.
Yeah. Kind of cool casting there.
Yeah.
Tuesday, ABC has another NBA Finals. Got a couple going this week. And ABC Family, new season of Pretty Little Liars.
Uh-huh.
And then new show, Chasing Life. It's about a young woman who finds out she has cancer, and so she's going to live life to the fullest.
Yeah.
And then Royal Pains is back on USA.
Okay.
Also on Tuesday night. Wednesday night, it's the finale of Growing Up Fisher.
I don't know that show.
It's,
Oh, that's the one with J.K. Simmons.
Yeah, J.K. Simmons.
Yes.
Had Tom Felton side rolling in my mind, and I had to fix it. Yeah, and, it's a decent show.
Okay.
But anyhow, so if you're a fan of that, it's done this week.
All right.
And then, another news special, NBC.
Yeah.
People versus O.J. Simpson, What the Jury Never Heard.
Oh, for Christ's
sake. I'm sorry, seriously? Again?
Can we let this go, please?
Okay. Also Wednesday night, new season of Graceland on USA channel. It's a cop FBI, whatever. So, Friday night, Stanley Cup Finals on NBC.
Uh-huh.
Back on the other games earlier this week are on Sports Network, but this one is on broadcast.
Oh, so you can watch the Blackhawks lose.
The Blackhawks already lost, and not in anymore.
No, I mean, that's what I'm saying. The previous games, if you saw.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I meant, like, Monday and Wednesday this week.
Oh. I thought you meant, like, the last series.
No, but this is the one that's this week that's actually broadcast on TV.
Okay.
So, Sunday, I think it's a rubbing in the Blackhawks thing.
Mm.
All right. Sunday, mm-hmm. The finale of Believe on NBC.
Yep.
Finale of Game of Thrones on HBO.
Oh.
PBS has a miniseries starting this Sunday. It's called The Escape Artist, and it stars David Tennant.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's coming to DVD as well. We just got a copy of it in the office.
Yeah, I'm sure that'll be out. Music this week, Jack White
mm-hmm.
has a new one out, and then Chrissy Hynde
has
a solo album.
I heard the first track off of it. It's pretty damn good.
Yeah, so that's called Stockholm.
Yeah.
It's out. Let's see. Sandy Patty, who's like one of the biggest people in Christian music, has been forever. She has a new one called Everlasting.
Hmm.
And then we have The Fault in Our Stars, motion picture score, which is Mike Mogis.
Oh, don't
And Nathaniel Walcott. It's not typical score, people.
Yeah.
So that should be interesting. And then, speaking of Broadway, Bullets Over Broadway, the original Broadway cast recording is coming out this week. And that's Zach Braff.
Yes, it is.
Is on that. So Scrub fans might want to check that one out.
Yep.
Books this week. Eric von Lustbader has one called Robert Ludlum's The Born Incendiary.
Oh, brother.
So, yeah, speaking of continuing series here. Yeah, so new writer on that one. And then, to go along with the special on Hillary Rodham Clinton, she has a book called Hard Choices, and kind of about her past few years in government.
And setting up her next few years as she runs for president.
So we'll see.
Yes.
A book called Sharon Tate, Recollection.
Oh.
It's actually a whole bunch of quotes and essays and all kinds of stuff by, like, crazy, like Jane Fonda and Patty Duke and Elkie Summer and that kind of stuff, but also like Kelly Osbourne and Michelle Phillips Okay. And this is put together by Deborah Tate, Sharon's sister.
Huh.
And then Roman Polanski actually wrote the foreword for it. So interesting. It's not just a biography, but it's, essays and stuff about her.
Yeah.
By people who know her. Huh. So, let's see. Theater news we already talked about.
Yep.
All the winners kind of did 2-1 there.
They did tease out, Sting has a show coming to Broadway next season.
I actually mentioned it.
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
You did. And he did a song, he performed a song from it last night, which was really quite good. So we'll see how that plays out. In entertainment news, kind of scary, Tracy Morgan is in critical but stable condition. He is responsive right now following a 5-car accident that was caused by a Walmart truck.
Mm-hmm.
It flipped the limo he was driving in, or he was riding in.
Yeah. There were numerous cars involved. And the trucker, somebody found, it's private now, but his Twitter account.
Yeah.
He had tweeted something like, "It's my road, you know, get out of the way." And,
oh, boy.
Yeah. Like, asshole driver.
And Walmart has issued an apology for the situation. And then they wound up, I caught a piece on the news last night that there was some murder in Vegas or something that happened in a Walmart as well. So
yeah, it was a crazy married couple.
Okay.
There were a couple police officers like eating at a restaurant.
Yeah.
And these people started yelling about revolution and killed the police officers.
Oh my God.
Then ran into the nearby Walmart and ended up killing somebody else and then killed themselves.
Jeez, it sounds like Oliver Stone's Natural Born Killers or something.
Yeah, who knows?
If you enjoy Tracy Morgan and his comedy and enjoyed 30 Rock, you know, set aside a couple extra thoughts for him. The Wachowskis,
the other people involved, and
yes, of course,
horrible situation.
Yeah.
So okay.
The Wachowskis' latest sci-fi adventure, Jupiter Ascending, which stars Channing Tatum and Mila Kunis, was scheduled for release on July 18th and has been promoted. In fact, they had an interview segment before Maleficent, and they did the trailer. Well, it's been pushed back to February.
Oh, that's a pretty big push.
Which is never a good sign
for
this brother-sister directorial team, whose Cloud Atlas kind of did very little for critics and audiences alike. So we'll see what happens. Director Peyton Reed has been given Marvel's Ant-Man following the departure of Edgar Wright and Adam McKay. Although
how long?
What's that?
What are we going to be talking about next week?
I don't know. Hopefully this is going to be it. But McKay's going to stick around to punch up the script.
Peyton Reed for the next week, and then we'll have someone new.
I worked with him on The Breakup with Vince. Oh, Roman.
Yeah.
He's a friend with Vince and Peter Billingsley and those guys. He's got an interesting comedic slant. We'll see what happens.
Okay.
With the Ant-Man delay, though, Marvel is fast-tracking Doctor Strange by hiring director Scott Derrickson, and thus begins the jockeying of every 30 to 40-something actor in Hollywood who wants the title role of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think Ethan Hawke's name was mentioned. Johnny Depp's name was mentioned. We'll see. There was a great little 80s... made-for-TV movie of Doctor Strange, which I really liked. I had it on VHS for a while. But I'm curious to see is one of my favorite characters in the Marvel Universe. So we'll see.
Yeah.
Director Josh Trank will follow up his work on the Fantastic Four reboot with the next standalone Star Wars movie, which is confirming Disney's commitment, apparently, to bringing new, independent directorial blood to the franchise.
All right.
Because Gareth Edwards, who did Godzilla, has the other one. And there's still one more that they need to name a director for. Denzel Washington and his Equalizer director, Anton Fuqua, are continuing their collaboration on a remake of The Magnificent Seven, which itself is a remake of Akira Kurosawa's Seven Samurai. We don't need this, folks. Denzel, spend your time and your money doing something else, please. Those two movies were fantastic. I don't need to see yours. Following the success of Maleficent and the upcoming release of Kenneth Branagh's Cinderella, which is next spring, Disney has greenlit another live-action version, this one for Beauty and the Beast, directed by Bill Condon. So, I know these things are making money for them. I just don't know if the value is going to continue. Tony winner Bryan Cranston's next project is developing a television series from the best-selling book Dangerous Book for Boys. I don't know if this is going to be for something like Netflix or for cable or whatever, but this is a pet project of his. Showtime has renewed Penny Dreadful for a second season the day after its series premiere. This is the new, it's dark, twisted, is it a cop drama or a detective drama? It kind of looks at the underbelly of, like, X-Files and vintage history. Like vintage London. And then J.J. Abrams is begging Star Wars fans to stop leaking information about Episode 7, which is like telling the sun not to set each night. That is never going to happen.
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, they're shooting outdoors in Abu Dhabi and in the desert. They didn't go back to Tunisia where they shot the original films, but people are, you know, swarming around and taking pictures of set and stuff. And I'm sorry, Star Wars has such a rabid fan base, you're not going to be able to contain this. So, that's all I have for entertainment news this week.
All right. Well, Scott knocked up Courtney again. The Kardashian news.
Just in time for the new season.
Right, and that's how we're finding out. It's actually a promo for the new season.
Of course it is.
She's telling them and her mom and stuff that she is pregnant. So it looks like it's true. Yeah. The rumors seem to be true. They're actually filming in the Hamptons this summer.
Oh, how lovely. I feel sorry for their
Courtney and Chloe. Mm-hmm. They did Miami and New York and whatever. You know, they go live somewhere for a few months and film it. Yay!
Yep.
So they're filming that. But yep, looks like it's number 3.
Okay.
How exciting.
Sorry for those children. Yep. do we have a contest this week?
We do. It's a documentary called Unacceptable Levels. Hmm. It's about all the chemicals. We have over 80,000 chemicals, like, in our country that are produced. And we have, like, at any time, we have 200 synthetic chemicals, like, in our body, in our cells, in our fat deposits that we've absorbed. Anyhow, so this is all about that and the chemical revolution of the 40s and what it's done to us today.
It's no wonder we have developed allergies and cancers and all sorts of things that our ancestors did not have.
And now we're finding out that what we've done for the past few decades, what it's really doing to us.
Yep.
And so that is our contest this week.
All right. Well, as always, thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you for reading our reviews at DVDverdict.com, for listening to our podcast at DVDverdictPresents.com, and for eventually moving over with us to DailyVerdict.com. But until next week, Melissa Ann, take it away.
And we keep driving into the night. It's late. Goodbye.